going. Just tell me the page. Special needs? We actually have a three-tier structure, one which is provided by a central administration, one's provided by the colleges, and one is provided by another central office in terms of overseeing the activities of both the central office and the colleges. In the central administration, we have the Office of Admission Services, which is providing extensive admissions, counseling, and outreach activities to the veteran population. This office has been in existence for over 30 years, just about 30 years, serving the university well. The counselors in that center have now been trained to deal with veterans' benefits as well, as being part of their orientation to students individuals who come into them. They also are trained with the veterans' laws, which they had not been trained in before. The colleges, we actually have been running extensive training programs for colleges that have liaison personnel. In fact, each college had to designate someone as a liaison, and we have monthly training meetings that are offered, that are supported by the Office of Student Affairs, and we've been having trainings for the last
4 months?
4 months on campus personnel to deal with specific problems that veterans would bring to a particular campus that they may be attending. As an overview, as an oversight for both, we have an ombudsman in the central administration who is a veteran himself, who is to look at when there is a problem on a particular campus or in a particular administration on a central office to deal with the veterans' problems and try to resolve that as a person that can best understand the needs of an individual. In addition, there's an advisory council that was established. The advisory council is to advise the vice chancellor for student affairs on all the activities of the three-tier system and to make sure that we're complying with what the intent of the university is, which is to provide services throughout the system to all the veterans who want to be served by us. That advisory council meets twice a year. It is chaired by Dr. Terrell, who himself is a veteran. In fact, he's active in the New York National Guard.
He's the general major
In the New York National Guard.
Major general.
Just the opposite. You can see we're not in the service. All right. So along those lines, I'd like to say those are the types of tier system we have to address the needs. As you indicated, the testimony is kind of extensive. It goes through specific outreach activities we have. It goes through the counseling on the campus. It goes through what training programs we have for individuals. And it speaks to one other thing. You had asked for recommendations regarding what state and federal regulations impact veterans. I actually represent the Office of Student Financial Assistance as well. And if you'll note, as not only these individuals need their veterans' benefits, but they're also available for all other state and federal programs that the university participates in. Over the last 2 years, there have been cutbacks, as you may know or may not know, in the state program. The one in particular that adversely affects veterans is not just a cutback in the state award, but it's a cutback in what they call the STAP program, the Supplemental Tuition Assistance Program. And that program has been eliminated during the academic year. It only exists for individuals, including veterans, for the summer before and the summer after the first year of attendance. In prior years, the STAP program was to provide remedial education and ESL instruction during the academic year. Students can no longer avail themselves of that service or that program within the state of New York. So that has been a major hit on students, including veterans that are participating in the program.
Excuse me, what program is it?
That's STAP, Supplemental Tuition Assistance Program. The program currently exists where that students can only participate in the summer before they attend the university and the summer after their first year. In prior years, students were allowed to have up to 2 years of academics, 2 semesters of academic study to participate in STAP. So while they were full-time students in the fall or spring semester, they were able to participate in the STAP program. And that, in essence, added a year's of eligibility to their state tuition assistance program.
Is it like a remedial program?
Right. For students who are underprepared, students, individuals who are underprepared, which a lot of veterans are, not all, but many of them are, they're allowed to take remedial or ESL instruction during that period of time and receive state aid. They no longer are eligible for that. I think that's a critical part. In addition, the state aid program was cut last year by students having to come up with 10% of their tuition. It talks about a TAP award is only 90% of the cost of education, meaning the tuition charge of an institution. So veterans, as well as other students, have to find that other 10% from whatever other means of financial aid they have available. In most cases, it comes out of their Pell Award. So that Pell Award, which is intended for the total cost of education, has now been taxed by, let's say, 10%. For a senior college student, that's $320 a year, less they have in terms of the Pell Award for the academic year. In the current proposal by the governor, you'll also note that A further proposal to coordinate benefits between TAP and Pell, that individuals would have their TAP award reduced by one half for their Pell award. So students would have less of their Pell award for other educational expense, which would include housing, transportation, lunches, fees, books, and things of that nature. And that's what Pell was intended for. That would be one proposal if you're going to take a look at to do that. Also, the program that you're very familiar with, and it was mentioned earlier, the program for Vietnam Veterans of America, the state program. A long time, the university has lobbied for the extension of that program, not only for undergraduate students, but for graduates. And I would venture to say that the program should be for all veterans to extend it to all of them.
That's why I'm giving you that.
When he mentioned it earlier, I said we should get a copy of that and see what's there. But we've been advocates for that for a long time. In fact, each one of our legislative bills that we submit each year in October to the governor's staff always includes the extension of that program. That's something we'd like to support. I'd be happy to take questions since you said, you know, you can read the testimony. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Gary. Start with you.
I'm sorry.
After Pete, start with Gary.
Do you actively recruit veterans?
Yes,
program?
We have a Office of Mission Services as a division called Community Services. We have a director of that unit. Her job has been expanded to actually recruit veterans in various agencies. Her job is to work with community agencies, all community agencies. Specifically in the last year, we've been trying to get list of recently discharged veterans so that we can do direct mailings. Many years ago, the university used to be able to get that from the Veterans Administration. That was curtailed about 4 or 5 years ago, or something of that nature. We used to do direct mailing. We've started that up again. In fact, last summer there was a meeting up here where we sent a couple of staff people to see if we can renew that kind of outreach activity. We have not been successful yet, but Dr. Terrell from City College, the Major General, did I get it right?
Major General
has put us in touch with a number of VA organizations where we possibly would be able to get that information to do that.
The simplest way to get that is to go through the Army Recruiting Command or the Military Recruiting Commands. I know you have one, and there's two in New York City area.
Yeah, we're currently working with a Lieutenant Colonel Carlos Maldonado, who's the Chief Division at Fort Totten in New York.
Fort Totten.
Yes, yes. In fact, we've had several meetings with him recently.
He's the commander of the recruiting effort.
Yes, yes. And he has said that he would get that information to us.
Yeah, so they get a master printout because recruiters are required to do follow-ups.
And so he's going to share that with us.
Yeah, that was, when we talked, and I raised the question that that's regional, and we were trying to do things that where whatever base they've been being discharged from, that we try to get access to that. So we're going to get it from the New York bases, I know that.
They can do that too.
Right.
They can get it through Fort Dix or wherever.
Right, that was the link that Dr. Terrell had established for us with Mr. Maldonado.
Pete?
Thank you.
Yes, I have two questions. One would be about VBTA. As you notice in the book, we're talking about, our committee is talking about having TAP and PAL waivered when veterans apply for VBTA, for the Veteran Tuition Assistance. What would be your take on that? And the second one, how do you go, what are you doing in the community that far as advertising, trying to recruit veterans? Not just on basis, but just in general.
Well, if I understand the first, I didn't read this yet, but if I understand what you said, that
okay.
That the VBTA plus TAP plus Pell, would I be in favor of that?
Having those two, Pell and TAP, waivered. So a lot of veterans have been bombarded with this paperwork with PAL and all the other grants when they apply for VBTA. And it really takes them away from it. They don't want to get...
Well, the VBTA is a state program. You'd have to get federal approval to use that form of the application to be qualified for Title IV aid. And Title IV aid would include things beyond PAL.
I understand that.
I would be in favor of that. In fact, the university has worked collaboratively with the Higher Education Services Corporation, who's here today, over the past 20 years, and actually processing our own TAP applications, basically, for CUNY students. And we've been doing that for 20 years in coordination with them. We act as their downstate representative for CUNY, basically. And I'd be in favor of extending that as well if there is legislation that allows us to use that data to determine other types of aid. And that's what you really, I think that's...
Well, the main thing I'm talking about is when veterans who have asked me about veterans funding for schools and stuff like that, a lot of them who was based in our age category or whatever, they already have money, but they don't have money for school. So with TAP and all the Pell grants, that takes them out of the loop. So they will not even try to apply for VVTA because of the other requirements for PAL and TAP. So would you be willing to agree that it's not, it shouldn't be necessary to apply for both of those when you're just applying for VVTA?
Sure. Okay. I mean, the regulations, not the universities, the regulations are state regulations.
Yeah.
You must apply for the other two programs.
Okay.
But there's nothing, I'm an advocate for student aid. If I haven't made that clear, I'll make it clear here. And I'm an advocate for grant money versus loan money. I don't believe that students should have to borrow money to go to higher education.
Yes.
That should be the point of least last resort rather than first resort, which many people think individuals should do.
Betty, you want to ask a question?
I'm a great advocate of the TAP. One of the kids in my family, who father died, and she was 17 or something, and she had no way to go to college. And the TAP program sent her to college, and through this other thing they had, they sent her $235 a month. They put her through college, and she gave 2 hours every morning to the school. She went to the office, and that was her way of paying that TAP. She donated. 2 hours, I think it was a day or something like that. And this is 20 years ago when it first started. And I have to say, it was a marvelous program for a better child.
I believe the TAP program is an excellent program. What I've been seeing over the last 2 years is a reduction in state support for TAP. Last year, and it has to do with the fiscal crisis, and I say a fiscal crisis in the state when you have to start cutting into education as a means to support the state budget. And this next year, there's a cut of about $100 million plus in the TAP program. And that coordination of benefits with Pell will adversely affect every low-income student. The other population that the university is addressing as well, that we've been advocates for, are people on public assistance. And I think a lot of the people who are individuals who are veterans, both men and women, may be on public assistance. And they're being hit very hard as well with what you may call the workfare. I don't know if you know what the home relief workfare issue is. But I can actually tell you that a year ago at this time, we had over 10,000 people in the university who were on public assistance who are home relief. In December of 1995, we had 5,700. They had disappeared from higher education. And I think a number of those may also be veterans. So when you think about public policy that you can influence, those are some public policies that you should be addressing as well.
She was sent through our service officer. I mean, it was done through the Veterans Administration. So she was sent because of the service officer, and she was a veteran at the time. And as I say, and she paid that by working, which she didn't get for nothing at that time. She gave a couple of hours every day in school.
Rick?
I have a number of questions, if I may, Dean Proto. I noticed that in your conclusion, you indicate that you believe that CUNY has strengthened the services it provides to its veteran students. As you I'm sure know from the letter of invitation, as well as other activities and communications with the Chancellor's Office of the Veterans Community, much of the Veterans Community is familiar with the situation, has been very concerned about the closing of the Veterans Office at the City University. And the I'm curious about the conclusion to your statement, simply because in January of this year, first in October, late October, and then again in January, I called the central administration number of the office on 31st Street, where that used to be the number where the Veterans Office was located in student services. And the first time I called in October, I was told that the office was closed. And I said, well, is it just not open today? No, it's closed for good. Well, can you refer me anywhere? And they said, no, you got to go to the campuses. And I said, suppose it's not a camp, I'm not on a campus at this point. And the response was, go to VA. I don't know how familiar you are with what that means to many veterans, not all veterans, but for some veterans, you say, go to the VA in New York City, and you might as well tell them to go jump into the East River as tell them to go to what used to be at 252 7th Avenue, because that's the attitude that a lot of the guys have. I recalled it again in January and pressed the point and was told once again that the office was closed, period. I said, well, where does one go for services if one is a veteran? Well, you go to the individual campus. Is there no one there who knows anything about it? Well, just a minute. And so I was on hold for about 5 minutes. And finally, someone came back on the line and said, basically, that you had to go to the VA on Houston Street for any help with the Montgomery GI Bill if prior to enrollment, but otherwise, go ahead and apply, and when you got to the campus, seek services on the campus. And I said, from where? And they said, from the Office of Student Service at the Dean of Students Office on that particular campus. At no point did I talk to anyone who I had the feeling had any particular facility or affinity or sensitivity to veterans. I don't mean they're not nice people or that they act in an unprofessional manner, but the problem really has to do with the elimination of the Veterans Office. My understanding, significantly less than $100,000 a year, may have diminished student services within the context of the university simply because the sensitivity is not, might not be there. In a much smaller context, I would just say part of what my experience is based on as many years as a veterans advocate, some 20 plus years ago, 24 years ago, I found myself in a similar situation at a much smaller institution where I was dean of students dean. And because I was a Vietnam veteran, a lot of veterans came to me. Well, I didn't have time to run the residence halls, the dining halls, and do student discipline, etc., and deal with the special problems that returning Vietnam veterans had. So we used CETA funds, what we got from the governor of the state of Vermont, in order to start what became one of the prototypes for the veterans, the VSIP program, and put them on all the campuses in Vermont. There is a special sensitivity that is needed. And it, some of it, quite frankly, sir, really has to do with nomenclature. No veteran would not know a rank. You might get a little, the Navy guys might get a little bit confused about the Army, and the Army guys a little bit confused about the Navy, but by and large, one veteran has a sensitivity and understanding of the other. So I guess my question that I would come to is how, having eliminated the Veterans Office last summer, number one, how did it save money, given all of the additional training and other efforts of other staff that are much more highly paid than the staff in the Veterans Office? Did it save money, number one? And number two, upon what do you base the conclusion that veteran services and offered to potentially matriculated as well as already matriculated veterans has been strengthened? And I guess the third thing in there is I'm puzzled as a member of the veterans community and the veteran service organization as to why the Veterans Office was eliminated and continues to be closed in the face of what is clearly significant support for having such a function not only at CUNY but on every SUNY campus. Right. That's a lot, I know, throwing into it, but you look like an individual who based on the way in which you summarize your statement rather eloquently, I'm sure you
Let me just right start with what your last statement was, and I think it was mentioned, the question was asked earlier about the office that we had, the Office of Veterans Affairs with the university, and why it may have been eliminated, why it was eliminated last year. And Mr. DeMarco here used what I call the street language about, without having to say the word, that it had to do with finances. When the university received its budget last year, there were major cutbacks to be made in the senior college budget, of which the central office participates in. We had a major reduction in staff across the board in the university. In fact, the college presidents, as well as the chancellor, who runs the central office as a separate unit, theoretically, of the university, the college presidents had to file for what they call financial exigency, which meant that they put in place a retrenchment or non-reappointment provisions. It had to go to our board and was approved by our board. At the same time, the central office had to do the same thing because it has a portion of the state support. In fact, the central office is totally supported by state dollars, not city dollars in that sense. So that was put in place. In fact, until July 1, the Office of Veterans Affairs used to report to me in the Office of Student Services. And not only was that office eliminated, but I lost two other staff people as part of the, if you want to use the term, downsizing, or really meeting the budgetary needs of the university. So I lost three staff people in the course of that evaluation. That does not mean that it was not done across the board in other areas of the central office or in other areas of the university, because faculty were lost, staff and student services were lost across the campuses. And rethinking how to restructure to provide services when you lose an office that was providing the service for over 20 years, and I go back to 1974 when the office was probably first created. I worked for the same vice chancellor at the time. You have over 20 years of experience, you don't replace that in overnight. You just don't. So that's why we had to engage in how we had to restructure training staff who are currently doing activities to take on a larger load, if you will, than they were currently doing, you know, prior to July 1, 1995. And that was done across the board. You mentioned the CEDAR program. I'm also familiar with that, that we had that. That was a mainstay of our veterans outreach activity program, not only in central office, but on the campuses. And then when that went by the boards in terms of support, some of those activities on campuses also went by the boards. What the university is attempting to do now in terms of restructuring is taking the current staff we have and adding to their responsibilities by training them. Now, you may say, what is training course, you know, what are the costs involved in training individuals? Well, they come to a monthly meeting for training, and we've been having those, on a regular basis since the last 3 or 4 months that I know of. The staff, you alarmed me a little bit when you gave me your experience with the Office of Admission Services, because another hat I wear has that office reporting to me. So I make a little note about whether or not the staff there is being properly trained or if phone calls are coming in appropriately to be sensitive to whatever the population is, whatever the individual's needs are. If it's a veteran calling, then we should be sensitive to what that individual's needs are. If someone's calling on public assistance, we should be sensitive to what that individual's needs are. So I make a little note leaving this meeting today that I have some addressing to do with my own staff about individuals who call and how they're treated on the phone or what information they're receiving properly or improperly. We've attempted to use the resources we have available to us within the university, as well as the resources within Veterans Administration. I do know that veterans will cringe if we tell them to go back to the VA. I have not been, I guess the Veterans Affairs Office reported to me for about close to 15 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. I guess it was about 15 years. So I'm not totally insensitive to what the needs of the individuals are. I worked very closely with the director and had great admiration for what he did for the veteran community. But the university had to make a decision about where it spends its resources. And one evaluation was there was no resources going directly to any other special interest group. I mean, there was not an office of disabled students or an outreach activities for disabled individuals. There's not an office for any particular ethnic group. So it was decided to fold that activity in with the functions that the offices that currently exist for all populations. But they should be trained to be sensitive to types of things they were not sensitive to before. And believe me, I don't sit here trying to be an expert, because I'm not, in terms of the various bills. When I took a look at the different chapters and what periods of time people served in and what you may not be eligible in, it takes a great deal of training. And I hope that that's what we're attempting to do with staff in the university, both in my office and with the campus people as well. I hope I answered your question.
Sir. And how does this strengthen?
I think it strengthens. I think any organization strengthens when you have more people that are totally aware of the needs of individuals than you have one office which has 1.5 people dealing with those needs of the individual.
I see. Thank you very much. And thank you for being here today.
On behalf of the committee, I'd like to thank you. And I'm sure that your testimony here is of great interest to us. Maybe we could find ways and means that could help the University of the City of New York. I think that it's a shame that the veteran always takes a hit, especially with that office, which was very important to serve the veteran groups in the universities. But I'm sure that that's the reason we invited you, so we could know what the score really is, and maybe that we could solve some of these problems. And on behalf of the committee and all the 27 veterans group that belong to this committee, I want to thank you, and thank you to him.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to add that when questions do come up, if you can't get through. And I mean, I don't want to hear it a year from now, but if things come up and the university in terms of how students, how veterans are being served in the university, I will leave you my card. You can share it with any group you want. And if you can't get through to any office in the university, I'm not talking about offices that report to me, but any group that you, you know, any student who can't get through, you just give me a call and I'll make sure that person gets served the proper way.
We're, this forum, the record will be published in and will go to every member of the legislature, which is always looking for some place to refer questions from constituents. So I'm sure that you'll be getting some calls at some point if there is a problem. But thank you very much. And,
yes.
Sheila, may we have your card also?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You take this and I'll make it. Who's on next? Miss Suzanne Price? Miss Suzanne Price, the Office of Students Affairs, Central Administration, State University of New York. Welcome to the Tuileries.
Oh, thank you for inviting us to be here. And this is my colleague, Jim Campbell, who's from Governmental Relations at SUNY System Administration, who, if I put my foot in my mouth, is going to bail me out. So, on behalf of the Chancellor, Thomas Bartlett, I'd like to thank you for inviting SUNY. We are always willing to participate in services impacting New York State citizens. We apologize for not having a written statement, but we'll be happy to submit one this week. I personally am very supportive of Veterans Affairs in that John Howe spoke about the 369th. My father is the recent past president of that organization, and I certainly grew up in that type of environment, so I'm very supportive of Veterans Affairs, as is the State University of New York. We've been asked to comment on our supportive services to veterans, especially disabled vets. And I'd just like to say as a side note, we have been providing technical assistance to the New York State National Guard. We've been working with Rosetta Burke in assisting them with improving their enrollment by examining increased scholarship and financial aid services as benefits for enrollment in the Guard. Our veterans enrollment is by self-identification, and when we have veterans enroll in SUNY, they self-identify. Often, they don't do that, so we don't have, we don't often know if they're veterans or not. I used to work on a campus, and most of the time that I found out that a student was a veteran was because in conversation, he or she let me know that they were veterans. They did not self-identify on our applications or on the admissions to different programs. But so we do know that we need to step our recruitment efforts in this area and that we do need to reach out to veterans more. You've already heard CUNY's testimony, and certainly SUNY is undergoing a lot of the same financial problems as the City University of New York, especially in relation to the proposed reductions in TAP and Pell. And that certainly hampers our efforts to recruit veterans. We have proposed reductions like many state agencies. We are proposed for reductions and streamlining our campuses and system administration, and so therefore that is hampering also our efforts to reach out to veterans and recruit and have specific populations on our campuses to who deal especially with veterans. We have been attempting to increase our enrollment of veterans and providing services for them, but like I said, it has been difficult with all the reductions and hits that especially SUNY has taken in the past year to do that. We do offer services for disabled students for which veterans qualify. Our campuses are equipped with physical facilities for the handicapped. We offer job matching services. We offer career placement services. We make referrals for medical and mental health services, anything with substance abuse. So we are very well set up to offer services for disabled students. We were asked about our services for disabled veterans, and they do qualify for all of our services that disabled students have. And we have full-fledged programs on our 64 campuses that are set up with disabled student coordinators whom veterans can go to and seek that assistance. One of our other programs that a good number of our veterans participate in is the Education Opportunity Program, which is a program for academically and financially disadvantaged students. These programs offer an opportunity for students to participate in college who ordinarily could not because their grades didn't allow them to or financial restraints didn't allow them to. Once they're accepted in that program, they receive any number of counseling and supportive services that other students could not or may have to pay for. However, last year we experienced a 25% reduction in funding to that program, which meant a loss of 900 slots statewide, which meant veterans who could come into that program no longer were able to because we didn't have the slots to offer like we have had in the past. This year again, we will be 25% short if the budget is enacted as proposed. So we really are experiencing a difficult time with the funding, and that is really curtailing our efforts to reach out to veterans. SUNY is very receptive and sensitive to the needs, realizes that's a population that we do need to embrace more and that we have in the past, and that we need to reach out and get them to come to school. But one of our problems is we have been taking hard hits in the budget, and can seek your support in helping us to get restoration to our programs that would increase veteran enrollment. And we certainly are dedicated, but we are experiencing a difficult time right now.
Have you, do you know the percentage of veterans?
No, I don't, and I did try to get that information
because
before I came.
Because I know you take care of all disabled, per se.
Right. Well, if they're disabled, they will be counted in that number, and we have about 3,500 students who are identified as disabled students on our campuses.
But you don't know exactly
how many are veterans, and that's not in that information.
You mean you can't obtain it from the financial aid office?
I can get that number, but only if they have been declared or they're using some kind of GI benefits, and that doesn't always happen.
Go ahead, Gary.
A couple things. Do you have any vets that work in your office?
I'm trying to think if I know that they are or not. In my particular office. At system administration, not that I know of, on our campuses, yes.
Okay. You may have said this and I missed it. Do you actually have an active program to recruit veterans?
No, we don't have an active. I'm not going to sit here and tell you we do. We don't have an active program to recruit veterans. We do it through our admissions recruitment on all of our campuses. That is a population that we do want to try and reach out to more and involve increased enrollment from veterans.
Because I would think it would be a benefit to the university system.
Absolutely.
To recruit a veteran who's at least bringing with him some financial support.
Well, one thing the campuses, some of the campuses do is if they have a veteran who's a student, is to use that student to recruit other veterans and to also hold peer mentoring groups for veteran students on that campus. You're absolutely right. That would be a benefit to the university and something we need to develop more fully.
Because, we've been visited by the National Guard looking for our support.
Mm-hmm.
We had a gentleman here today from Connecticut. In Connecticut, if you join the National Guard, it's 100% tuition.
You're right. We've been talking to Rosetta Burke about those kinds of issues.
Okay, thank you.
We've got about full TAP and scholarship programs.
Rick?
Yes, ma'am. If I understood correctly, that you have no veteran-specific programs whatsoever, either on the campuses or in central administration. Am I correct in that?
I think you are correct, not to my knowledge.
Are there any plans to institute?
We are working on that, and we are talking about that. Our main problem is trying to get increased funding so that we can do more things that we have done in the past.
It was the belief of many of the members of this council, of the member organizations, if you will, that when with strong support from this council and from the American Legion in 1994, that Chapter 553 of the laws of 1994 was passed, that because education at SUNY institutions does in fact enhance an individual's employability dramatically, particularly in a post-industrial economy such as that which New York is transitioning into, if indeed we're not already in a post-industrial economy, that it applied to all state university services. And therefore, that there needed to be tracking and supporting, reporting back by the categories as specified in that law. Now, there, when reporting back from other agencies, there's clearly some more explicitness that needs to be built into Chapter 553. And frankly, what we're hearing back from some folks is there ought to be sanctions built into Chapter 553. But the question here is really explicitness. May I suggest that maybe you want to revisit that, review it, and if in fact there are plans that it looks like that make sense to the Chancellor and to the folks at the Central Administration, if you would please get back in touch with our member organization through our President, Mr. DeMarco, it would be helpful.
Absolutely. It would be helpful to us too, absolutely.
Ms. Price, we'll ask you to send us a statement, please.
Sure.
This way we could discuss it at our meetings, you know, get into details, and on behalf of the committee, we say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Please help yourself. At this time, I'd like to recognize the Honorable Ron Tocci, the Chairman of the Assembly Veterans Affairs Committee. He's just come in. Ron, come on up here and say hello. Have you time to sit down?
Yeah, sure. I'll stay with you.
Great.
Take the time to thank everybody. A very, very hectic day, and I apologize for a lot of my colleagues and in both houses because it's a joint session and a lot of things are going on. But obviously, you'd be commended again in a series of these kinds of meetings, hearings, and forums that are very, very productive. We did the health forum, which I thought was exceptionally good in the sense that it gave us a lot of insights. And this legislation is already proposed and ongoing. And this employment, education, and training forum will also be a big help. So I think we're making a lot of good progress, and it's a tribute to all of you. And I want to commend you, you especially, Ron, and everybody that's participated. So with that, I'll listen for Ron. Thank you.
Let me add. We will be successful with your help, too. And we want to thank you for all you do for us. Mr. Brian Matthews, the Director of Payments Income Verification Program, Higher Education Service Corporation. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. I wanted to hand you some information before I started.
We have a helper, a great helper.
Thank you.
We're going to raise the salary next week. That's too much.
Yeah, Mr. O'Meara said we were short on staff here.
Short?
Yes, please. That's
Thank
good.
You very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. On behalf of the Higher Education Services Corporation and President Maurer, I want to thank the council for this opportunity. The Higher Education Services Corporation is the state agency which is responsible for providing and coordinating financial aid for students attending colleges and other institutions of post-secondary education in New York State. The biggest program that the agency administers is the tuition assistance program, the TAP program. The two programs which are of special significance to the council are the Vietnam Veteran Tuition Assistance Program and the Child of Veteran Program. I have provided a very brief overview of both of those programs for you. I believe that the brochures that I provided and the applications have very extensive specific information. The one thing I wanted to touch on is there's some statistics on the program that I provided, and actually I was quite surprised myself at the number of Vietnam veterans who, after 12 years of the program, still use the program. As I pointed out in the statement, in 1993, over 550 Vietnam veterans received more than $700,000 in awards. And that compared to the third year of the program, it was 664 veterans and only 423,000 in tuition awards. So again, although the number of veterans attending and receiving these awards has declined, it does remain higher than many would have predicted. And it does continue to be a source of important financial aid for Vietnam veterans. The information that I've sent out, that I provided for you, is available at colleges, high schools, libraries, and it's also available to your organizations. We have our policy and information area. I checked with them this morning, and they said that they did, in fact, send this information out to anyone and to different posts and different organizations that have asked for them, specifically veterans organizations. There's been some, I wanted to address, there was one question about earlier about the applying for other aid, Pell and TAP. And that's in the law, and my understanding of that is that I believe the legislative intent was that veterans would apply for all aid that was available. And I don't think it was meant to be a block to getting the Vietnam Veteran Tuition Assistance Program, but maybe an incentive, and perhaps too strong an incentive, to make sure that the veterans did apply for any aid that they were eligible to receive. In the Tuition Assistance Program, which I did not specifically write up, is obviously available to all students going to school in New York State. And you know, we've never kept track of the number of veterans, the number of Vietnam veterans that have taken advantage of that program, but we're certain that the number is very high. It is financial aid that's provided for anyone that meets those the income and other eligibility.
Go ahead, Rick.
Just one question, Brian. As a follow-up to this, your appearance here today, first of all, thank you very much for joining us. Is it possible to take at least the VBTA and your computer cross-match that with folks receiving other kinds of financial aid assistance through HESC and come back to us with stats? Obviously, don't want to know individuals, but that would not be a complete count of veterans seeking other forms of financial aid, but at least it would give us some idea how many people actually receive such assistance.
Sure. And in fact, there was and your group may have been instrumental in passing it, I don't know, there was a recent change to the independence criteria for students. Veterans do not have to meet the same criteria as non-veterans. So we do actually ask a question on the application, are you a veteran? But that only started in 1994. So we could take a look at that too and see how many.
That would be very, very helpful. The reason why, what Pete, I think, was alluding to is we had cases of veterans complaining or beefing, if you will, about having a, you know, ask their mom who's in a nursing home for an income statement before they can apply for the Vietnam Veterans Tuition Assistance Award. And that's why a lot of people walked away from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, anyone, I don't think Vietnam veterans, they may have been a little misunderstanding, because anyone over 35, and I think at this point, mm-hmm. our Vietnam veterans would be over 35, would not have to get involved with anything with their parents. They would be automatically considered independent. But, you know, there could be some questions about that. You know, they could think that they would have to if they didn't, you know, the instructions for financial aid is complicated, and I understand and I sympathize with people who, especially who would not get this, who would not get the need-based aid anyway. I can understand that they would not want to apply for the TAP and the PEL.
One last suggestion. If you do not have these available in all New York State Department of Labor offices and in all state division offices by supplying it to the central administration in bulk, I would urge you to do that, as well as all VA, vet centers, etc. I guess what I'm suggesting, I know that it is perhaps unfair of anyone to suggest and push the Higher Education Services Corporation to be something you're not, and you're basically not a marketing outfit, but I think that maybe working closely with the director of the Division of Veterans Affairs, John Behan, and mm-hmm. his folks, that they can suggest places and work with you about where to forward copies of all of these things so that the most people possible who are eligible, potentially eligible, would have access to it. And I'm sure that John and his staff will be glad to assist you in that manner if you reach out to them.
Sure.
Yeah, Ron. Ken, Brian, how you doing?
Good.
You know that both the Senate and Assembly is considering the possibility of a tuition waiver program for National Guardsmen. The idea being that better than 50% of the Guard are now retired or separated active military personnel. And the feds reimburse us to the tune of almost $8 to every dollar we contribute. So it's a benefit to the economy as well as to the state, and allowing us to prepare ourselves better for an emergency. And the guardsmen are volunteers. So the idea being that we'd like to offer them something as an incentive to build our guard unit, so we receive more federal dollars and we're better able to provide services to our residents. One of the suggestions